This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. 300th episode, folks. Ryan, how exciting is this?
My God. How do you feel?
I can't believe we've done it.
300. Jesus.
Wow. Guys, I couldn't have done this without you guys. I really could not have done it without you guys. I couldn't have done it without Ryan. I couldn't have done it without Bryce or Jason. That's a fact.
Or your legal team clearing that song.
Yes. You could have that on there. It's fine. Because on Instagram, you could use it on stories.
What was that? What was
Johnny the song? Carson theme. Here's Rosie.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you. This has been an absolute shock that I made it past one episode, let alone 300. I would never have thought this would be a direction in my life that I would take. And having some success, because I feel like we have a devoted fan base. We have listeners who find the podcast meaningful and helpful and enjoy it. And that means a ton to me. And thank you, Ryan, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We've had some fun.
Yeah.
There's been some interviews. I always ask Ryan at the end. Uh-huh. I go, what do you think?
Yeah.
And, sometimes we're like, that was awesome. And sometimes I was like, it was okay. And that's just par for the course.
And yeah, but that's rare. I've almost been here 5 years at this point.
No.
Uh-huh. Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, it can't be.
It was 2019 summer. Yeah. We're in 2024 now.
Well, I think it's like 4 years.
I mean, coming up on, it's like 4.5 at this point.
How is this possible?
I don't know. I started in 2019.
How did time fly? I guess because COVID really hit and it was just like, it was kind of a blur.
COVID screwed a lot of things up.
It sure did.
Yeah. However, yeah.
And 300th episode is a big one. So I had to choose a guest that I thought would fit the 300th, and it was very easy to choose. It was not easy to convince them to do it, but I had to pick my buddy, my Superman, Tom Welling, for the 300th episode. So Tom, thank you for doing it. I know you thought we've done it so many times that we wouldn't have anything to talk about, but we did. And I really appreciated you doing it. And we've become really close friends over the years, which is surprising because we weren't ever close friends. We were like, yeah, hey, I always liked Tom. He liked me, and we respected each other. But like over the years, we have a bond. I love his wife, his kids. I mean, I don't live here, or he doesn't live near me anymore. But we see each other so often when we go to cons, and we see each other every week with you doing these. So it's a real treat to have him here. You guys know if you're really enjoying this podcast, all I ask you is please subscribe and help the little podcast that could. And at Inside of You Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, at Inside of You Pod on the Twitter. You can watch us on YouTube. Please subscribe, write a review, keep listening. And if you want to join Patreon to support the podcast, that would be dynamite. It really helps. Patreon.com/Inside of You. I'll write you a message. And also my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum. Just go to my link tree on the Instagram. And you'll see what cons Tom and I are going to, Cameo, Sunspin, my band, all that information, stores, everything you need is there. So I don't need to talk about it. Even Rosie's Puppy Fresh Breath is there. I talk about that, but it's a product I came out with. My buddy Tom Lally, childhood friend, and we like good breath on dogs. That's all I have to say. And it's easy to use. It's like a capful in their water based on how much water you have in there. It says on the instructions, and it's great. And thanks for all the support. And without further ado, let's get inside of Thomas Welling. Should I do the thing again? And without further ado, let's get inside of Thomas Welling.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
And
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Well, 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 if it isn't Thomas Welling, I never get to see you.
Long time no see. But thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. This is, I know you were reluctant. It's the 300th episode starring, I just wanted, I don't care if we talk about nothing for the next 45 minutes. I wanted you to be my 300th guest. You're one of my favorite people on the planet, and it's always easy talking to you. And by the way, have you started losing your hair yet? I know you're easing up on 50 soon.
No, I got hair. People ask me at the cons. I got hair. I got lots of hair. I just don't want to like do it. And my mom has hair, so I'm good. That's what I hear.
Wait. Did you say your mom has hair?
She does.
Well, most moms have hair. Ryan, does your mom have hair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's not something you say, well, my mom still has her hair. It's really your dad.
It's a high school thing. It's you have to look into like your mom's dad who may or may not have hair. As far as I know, and my mom's dad did have hair and my mom has hair. So I think I'm good.
All right. Good for you. And you're 46?
I think so.
Let me ask you, they always ask you that question. Do you feel 46?
No.
Where's your mind?
I feel 20. I feel like 26 and 82 at the same time.
Yeah, because this is a guy.
I don't know what that adds up to. We should do that math because I just thought about that right now.
Well, last weekend, yeah. You were you threw your back out and it was hard to watch. You were wearing a brace. You were like me, usually with my back.
Well, the difference is, if I may, you're in constant pain. You've had surgery and you're about to go in another surgery. For me, it's just, it feels like once a year, my back just goes, take a break, you know? And some people say that's from a mental standpoint. I don't see that. Maybe I need to talk to a therapist about that.
You do.
But my back was out. I wasn't in pain. My back just didn't work. So I was moving like 1/5 of how I used to work.
You were moving slow. I didn't want to say anything, but we did a con a few weeks back before the holidays. And we went to Nashville, which was a great time. But I guess it happened to you on the plane. So we did Smallville Nights, which is an intimate evening with us that we do at the cons, which we'll do one in Albuquerque. If you want to go to the cons, look on my link tree. We're interacting with the fans and we're reading scenes from the show. And it's like this intimate thing. And you look like 90 years old just because you're back.
I borrowed a cane from a fan.
Yeah. I'm like, he borrowed a cane from the audience. He borrowed a cane. This is like old Lex, old Clark talking about our, you know, it's funny to, you know, as much as pain as I've had and like surgeries and stuff, I still feel in my head, I feel young, but like
sharp. Yeah, you're sharp.
Well, I don't know how sharp I am, but like we went to a rooftop bar at the hotel and I went with the guys, like, you know, some friends of mine, and we were all up there. Even Erica came up there, Erica Durance. And I took a lap.
I wasn't there.
Right. You aren't there. You were in your bed, you know, on Advil, back in pain.
Yeah.
But I took a lap. I wanted to check out the place, scope it. And I felt like I was everyone in there's father just by looking at them. Not how I felt, but when I looked at them, I was like, oh my gosh, you're like 20 years old.
It's funny. You spark a memory for me just in this moment. When I was, I think 19 and 20, I was living in New York as a quote unquote model, and we were getting complete access to every nightclub with nothing to pay for, nothing else. And it was just a bunch of models everywhere. And then Smallville kind of hit. I remember we went to promote the first season of Smallville, and some of the places were still around. And I went to this one place, and I won't mention it, but I went back there, and now they let me in because now I'm on this TV show. And I got back to this room that I remember where all these people were, and everybody looked so much younger than I was, even at like 22. Oh. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I mean,
let me ask you, you said, you know, you talked about, you know, when you first got Smallville, and I know you did construction before you were modeling. First of all, do you still honestly, because a lot of people will say,
and bartending.
Do you still love acting, honestly?
Yeah.
You do?
I have a friend of mine right now, currently, I don't know when this is going to air, and he just helped finish a movie that didn't work, so they brought down this new producer, and he was a guy who, when when we did these last 4 days of this movie that was shot in Italy. I have two movies coming out in the new year. I think they've changed the names of the titles, but we shot in Italy. We couldn't finish it. So we shot it in Dallas, and I met this producer, and him and I have become friends because he was on set with us. If you know what I mean? Yeah. He was like moving things and like doing things. And we had a fight sequence that I was able to help out with. And then he moved it. We just became like buddies. And he called me recently and he was like, "Hey, you know, I got this movie I want you to do." And you're like, "Oh yeah, sure you do." But he's like, "But I'm doing this other movie and we need a sheriff. Do you want to do it for no money?" And I was like, I'll be honest with you. I go, "Yes." Like, because of the relationship with him and I go, "Yes." And I'm going to play this. Hopefully I'm going to play the sheriff for probably 1 day, 2 days.
Really? Why? Because you love it.
I read the script and I love the script and I love this guy. And you and I have spoke about this before, is as you have the opportunity, you want to work with people you like.
Yes.
You know, this guy says, "Hey, I need you. I'm in." Like, if you were like, "I need you," by the way, that's what we're doing right now. You're like, "I need you for this.
I want you to do this podcast."
And that, because, you know, I have other things to do, but I'm here with you because you asked me. And that's
true.
A beautiful situation.
But what would you do if you were still living in Michigan and you didn't have the looks to get you to the modeling and then the modeling to the acting and all this stuff? And let's say it just stopped at bartending and construction. What do you honestly think, if you could honestly say, "Hey, this is probably what I would have done"?
My grandfather was a firefighter, and I've always thought about that, because what I love about firefighters is they help people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that turned into the Clark thing. I don't know. Like, when the cops show up, you're like, "Ah, fuck." But when the firefighters show up, they're there to help you. I mean, that's a maybe non sequitur. I got Ryan's attention there. But maybe I would have gone there. I have friends who've gotten into firefighting, in and out of it.
You would have gone into firefighting to help people, but instead you became an actor playing a character that helps
pretending
and saves people.
Pretending to help people.
But you have helped many people out there who this show was everything that they needed at that time. You know, when 9/11 happened, how many people have told us how important this show was to them, or when they saw it with their dad and their dad's no longer with them, but it was a memory. It was like, or they got them through a tough time.
Well, I mean, I agree with that. You and I spend a lot of time at the cons and we meet people who've watched the shows with growing up with their like parents who maybe are not here anymore, but it still inspires them. But I will throw this back in your face and say that I have seen you physically help more people than, you have taken effort to help people, Ronald McDonald House and whatnot. You have actually become a superhero in your own life. And I'm not trying to like...
Well, no, I appreciate it. But, I always feel like, and it's true, I don't do enough. I think I could do a lot more. And I think I'm more fulfilled. And
we all can.
I feel like I have more purpose when I do help people. Because I feel like. But I think that true purpose is being selfless. And you're going to get purpose by doing something for someone else because you want to do that, because you want to help them, you want to help them get through a dark time. And so I don't think that I do enough. I think a lot of people could say that, but I honestly think I should do a lot more. And, you know, but thank you.
Well, I also, if I may interject, I think one of the things that I get from listening to this podcast, because I am a listener.
I know that.
And I think I'm still a patron. I signed up at one point. I think I am.
Oh, I'll have to look.
You do a good job of, and you inspire me to this, you take care of yourself so you can help other people. Like, I see you making efforts, and I, you know, whether it's the interesting interviews you have with Zach Levi, which he always has a lot to say, but I love listening to it.
Yeah.
What I like is you say you got to take care of yourself so you can take care of other people. And I think that's a very wonderful thing. And Ryan, I don't mean to put you on the point, but I just looked up and saw you here, but I don't know if you get that from this or not, and I'd love your feedback, but like, Michael inspires me, and I wonder if...
That's really nice.
Not to put you on the point. You can say no.
Ryan, I don't inspire Ryan at all. I don't inspire him.
No, but I agree with what you're saying a lot. Like, that's something that I had learned a lot in therapy, is like, you
because I do a lot of helping other people, but it helps a lot if you can help yourself first so that you can put yourself in a position to be helpful others. For other people.
Well, not,
I grew up, I'm an Eagle Scout. Like, I went through the Boy Scouts.
Oh, wow. I didn't know and that. Nerd.
News alert. It's going to trend.
Nerd alert.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
I didn't understand it as I was going through it, but one of the merit badges you get is lifeguarding. And now that we're talking about this, and this is all just sparking, because you and I did not prepare anything about this interview.
No.
Except
nothing.
One thing, which I'm going to ask you later.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not about us.
Fine.
But lifeguarding merit badge, when they teach you, like you already know how to swim, and they teach you how to like save people. The number one thing is if you don't think you can save the other person, you save yourself, because that other person will bring you down. And I think what I'm trying to do is kind of spin this to your podcast, which is get yourself in a place of status, however you want to say it, or homeostasis, so that you can then help other people.
It is in layman's terms, the analogy I would, I think you're aiming for is when you're in a plane, they always say, put your mask on before you put the other one mask on. So you could help yourself so you could help other people, like a kid or whatever. But anyway, Listen, on that note, I know you don't get too private, and we don't have to get private because I love your wife, Jess, and I think she's just unbelievable. So
I know she likes you more than I'm comfortable with.
Well,
to be honest.
Come on.
She's like, he's so magnetizing. And I was like, what?
Magnetizing? I've never had a woman call me magnetizing. Magnetic.
Well,
I think it's an episode of Smallville that wasn't
It
good.
Made me uncomfortable as well.
Oh, great. Now he's going to hate me for something I didn't do. What has Jessica taught you about yourself that you're working on to be a better person? Or what is it that you've gone, oh my God, she's right? Because we've had conversations where you're like, you said something and you're like, well, she's right. What do you want me to do about it?
How much time do you guys
but
have?
But listen, hopefully when you're married and you meet the right person, they make you a better person.
No, it's challenging. I mean, listen, it's...
Does she tell you to be patient?
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, okay, I'm going to come back to your other question, but this question, patience, you can't tell someone to be patient. Like, there's a whole unwrapping of why someone's not... Because people you're telling to be patient don't understand what you're talking about. However, what Jessica has not told me, but has helped me reflect upon how I operate. And I think that's even more important. Like, I might wake up a little earlier in the morning. And when she wakes up, I'm sort of like, you know, hey, this. And she's like, time out. You know what I mean? And so she's taught me how to be more
respectful of her space,
how to understand my own operating system. Just like, hey, in the moment, maybe think about how you want to operate instead of just like, you know, throwing up on
I know what you're saying. So almost take a beat to go, hey, how do I want to
collect yourself?
I don't do that enough. I don't collect myself enough.
No, you're impulsive, but you are, but this is why I do this, and that's why we have a good relationship. You're impulsive, but it always comes from such a beautiful place that everyone allows it to happen.
Okay. Because sometimes I feel
and
like
I mean that is a good
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
everyone loves you because it's all heart. And I guess so.
Because sometimes I get annoyed with myself. Like, I'm like, why can't you be more patient? Why can't you be quieter? Why can't you be less impulsive?
Dude, I'm no one bugs me more than I do.
I know.
But I've gotten better in our relationship of trying not to bug my wife more with my impulses.
Right. Do you, I guess, do you think?
I hope. We have to interview her next.
Well, I would do that. I've noticed in you a huge change. Now, I don't want to say, no, it is. It's for the better. Now, I don't know if it's Jess. I don't know if it's just your experience doing these cons and just a new outlook after Smallville because you were so in that world for so many years and so many like the go-to guy. We need you for this. We need you for that. We need you. And you're a very private person and you went through a divorce and all these things. And maybe finding your soulmate. But I feel like there's just a calmness about you that I'm more comfortable being around. Like I wasn't always comfortable being around you because I felt like, you don't want to be there. You're a little tense. You're short. Like that you don't have a lot of patience.
That was the whole Smallville was that.
Yeah. And I feel like now you go to these cons and you're not always like, let's go hurry. You're kind of just like, you're the calm one. You're like, you're just chill. You're in the room. You're talking to people. You're talking to fans. You're engaging. You're like I don't want to say a different person because it wasn't a person I didn't like, but you are a different person.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to hope so. I still have some things, but I know what you mean. And because a couple cons ago, you actually said something about it. And it was at the same time where I had happened upon a consciousness of what makes you happy. And what is happy? What makes you happy? Well, when you get what you want, it's happy. When you don't get what you want, you're not happy. But what do you really want? And when you don't get what you want, can't you just be happy within yourself?
And with what
and
you have.
And what I put on top of that from the con experience that you talk about is, what are you really in control of? And what's really going to go wrong? Like you can be yourself.
Right.
You know, give and be calm. And that's maybe what you've seen in me. I'm still working on it as we all do.
Yeah.
I mean, literally we've talked about this before, but on Smallville, it was all just, I felt like I was like a boxer who was just like this all the time.
Yeah. You're always just like, defending yourself and just trying to,
And
now you're
trying to survive.
Well, let me ask you this. We went to Nashville and we did this con and there was this huge tornado and, you know, horribly and sadly, people lost their lives. Well, when this thing's coming at us and the sky is just this color I've never seen and the alarms are going off and it's the warnings are coming up on your alerts, on your, what do they call those?
iPhone alerts.
Amber alerts or whatever it is.
Well, Amber is missing children.
Missing children. It's not that one.
No.
It's just an alert.
Yeah.
Anywho. But you're in a room and everyone's phone goes off.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, they made us all go down the entire con hotel to the
Were you there for what I said?
To the parking structure. And like, it was serious. Like Jensen Ackles and me and Tom and Jared, we all went down to the parking structure with all these fans, with all these people in the hotel. And we were awaiting what instructions on what to do next. And the first thing I was thinking of, I'm thinking of now is, you know, I'm kind of carefree and I'm like, I'm not worried. I'm just like, I just have to take care of myself. But were you worried? Were you thinking, oh, you know, I've got these two boys and my wife at home. Did that occur to you at all? Do you ever think of that stuff? Like,
it's so funny because I literally got a slap in the face from Kim, who works with us.
Physical or mental?
No. It was mental. But yeah. Like I come back to the room, you know, we're both about to be done for the day, which everybody loves to be done for the day. We get back there, the alert goes off, and Kim was like, and she runs the show.
She's awesome.
For these. And it was like, okay, we all have to go down to the parking garage, third level. There's a tornado coming. We all need to go. And I turn to her and I go, well, I don't need to go. And she goes, what do you mean? I'm like, and I literally said to her, this is so stupid. I go, I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want. Because I was thinking I'm going to walk back two blocks of the hotel.
Right.
And she looks at me and she goes, do you really want your wife to hear that you're the one person that leaves and dies and leaves your wife and two kids? And I was like, let's go down to the parking garage. So it's like, no one's, you know, like, because I was just like, I want to go. And you know me, one of the things that works for me at work, and this is a sidebar, everything that's wrong with me works on set. Like me on set, everything crazy and like
neurotic,
it all works. In life is it's more of an adaptation, if that makes any sense. So when she's like, we all have to go downstairs, we have to go. And I'm like, well, I don't have to go. And then when she said it to me, I was like, and I told my wife this story.
Puts things into perspective. Yeah. Hey, do the boys ever bring you to tears? Is there any something? Is there something that you're, you know, kids where they do things and it just makes you like in a good way, like a like emotional way? Like, these are my boys. I love them more than anything.
It's distracting how instantaneous they absorb your emotion in the best way. Like, I went for a walk with my two boys yesterday, and we went up in the hills, and it's all beautiful. And they just start doing things and saying things, and they say things that you don't know where they got from. Like, sometimes they say things and you're like, oh, they heard that from me. They heard that from their mom. They heard that from that show we watch. And then them coming out with things that, like, you don't know where they come from, and but with such beauty. I mean, it's disorienting in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
That's how I would say it.
I love that.
It's great.
Is there a pressure on you? I know you had a good childhood, like your parents were good parents, right? Do you feel like there's a pressure, like, to be a good father, to always do the right things? Are you hard on yourself? Are you just embracing this whole world of fatherhood?
Okay. Like, it's tough, but then you see the beauty in them. Like, I referred to my other story about going on the hike with them. It's like you see these beautiful people making choices on their own, and they're only 4 and 6, 2 years old. It's
about 2.
Yeah. But it's the most important thing in my life, and it's like the tent pole in my life for right now, of course.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know this is maybe a dumb question, but I've thought of this question. Like, if somebody said, hey, it's all over. This is what you've done. Like, you take that any way you want. Would you be proud of what you've accomplished? Is it good enough for you?
Cool. No.
It's not.
No, I'm proud of it, but not enough. Like, I feel like there's more. And I think the main part is raising my boys. Kind of like what you said. I feel like there's more to give. Am I proud of what we accomplished, like, with us on our show? Yeah, I think it stands up. In our podcast that we do together, I'm like, this is legit. Like, if my kids watch that show, that's great. But that's a TV show. My thing that I think about is, how can I be an example for my children? Is much more important.
Yeah, but I look at you and I'm like, star of a TV show, made a ton of money, made a lot of people happy, beautiful, sweet wife, 2 beautiful kids, live in a really cool place. Like, if it all ended, you know, if God forbid, I'd say, Welling had a great life.
Well, now would be a good time, because both my boys, like, you know, Thompson's favorite, although they play with all the different characters, when I ask Thompson who's his favorite superhero, he looks at me and he says quietly, Superman. But then he goes and plays with Iron Man, and, like, he doesn't because he's already seen our show. I don't think Rocky's familiar with it yet, but when you have young children at this age, they still think I'm awesome. They haven't figured it out yet. You know what I mean?
They haven't figured out that you're not awesome. No, they know it. Dad's always their favorite person. You know, I always think this of you. Are you a messy person? I have a feeling you're a messy person and just bitches at you constantly.
You know, that's an easy question to answer. I'm messy, but I'm clean.
What does that mean? You take a shower and then you take a shit on the floor?
I have clean clothes that aren't organized. Yeah, I'm not dirty, but I'm messy. I take a shower before I go to bed. I like to be clean, but I'm not exactly organized.
I have a feeling Ryan's messy.
I'm kind of that way, the messy clean. No, all my clothes are clean.
Yeah, they're just not organized.
No, they're organized. I mean, I just look at my desk is like a little bit chaotic, but I know where everything goes. I have stacks of hard drives.
Yeah.
I'm more functional than I am. Oh, this needs to be like, let me move this right here.
Well, let me tell you something. My old therapist, who was right about this one thing, said, you have to have everything around you organized and put together or you will fall apart. That's your personality. Everything has to be neat. Everything has to be organized. So because your mind's so disorganized that it helps me. So if my everything's solid, everything's, if structure. I think that I have to do this, this room's a mess, this, then I'm not focusing. I have this ADD. So I have to make sure everything around me is good. And then I could sit there and I could write and I could focus. Like when I leave this room, I like it a certain way. Ryan knows. I like the pillows to be nice. I like this podcast room to be like when I walk in the next time, it's great. Looks great. Ready to go.
Who wouldn't?
Right.
But I will say that our time on set, you and I share this. You walk on the set and it's not a proclamation, but it's what's going on. What's the structure that I can be creative within? And as long as that's all taken care of, I can be creative. If not, I'm distracted and I can't be creative.
Yeah.
That's kind of the other side of that. But I agree with what he's saying. I don't need everything to be perfect to do what I do.
I know. I think that's a personality. I think that's certainly a personality.
Yeah. Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Are you honestly proud of yourself? Can you step back and look up from the outside in and say, dude, good job? Or are you really hard on yourself? Like you don't see all the success. You just kind of, you're not aware of all the things you've actually done.
It's funny. This would be a good question for my wife. no, and I don't, I mean that in the best way because she said to me, she's like, I'm very proud of the work we did. And now then in our rewatch podcast, I'm able to enjoy it. At the time, I didn't because I didn't know what it was. I'm proud of it. I think my kids will be proud of it when they see it as well. I just think there's more out there for me to express, if that answers the question. But
yeah,
at one point she kind of said, like, it's not how I define myself. Like, I don't walk around being like, I'm the guy from that show. I really don't. And I think she respects that. I think she does. I don't like, that's something we did and that's great. And I'm more proud of it now than I was when we did it.
Sure.
But there's more to come. That's sort of how I feel.
Well, there's also like the good guy aspect of it. Like I was watching this video and somebody on YouTube did nice guys and mean guys. And they had like Mike Myers as a terror on set and people, all these things. But then they had Adam Sandler. He walks into like a restaurant and the woman's like, oh, sorry. She says, we don't have any whatever. And he goes, oh, all right. Or he says, we don't have any seats for you. Sorry. We can't. And he's like, oh, okay.
No problem.
Yeah. And he's like, all right. And he left with his daughter and he wasn't like, hey, you know, listen, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I'm on a show. Can you hook me up? I think we've all been, we've all said things, done things, our actions didn't always, make us proud. If we look back, I mean, just as a human being, not as I can't anything specific, I'm not really referring to, but is there something about like do you look back at your actions, albeit on set or in personal life, and go, you know what? I was immature and stupid. And I really wish I wouldn't have acted that way. And I wish I could apologize to that person now.
Yeah. And I think especially with this podcast being toward like mental health in the best way of self-reflection, being able to learn from those things. Like there was a time they were directing an episode of Smallville outside in the parking lot. And I was trying to finish an episode I was directing and starring in the basement of the production studio. And we were trying to do this 300 sort of thing, like a slow bullet going. And Clark does this. And outside, they kept calling on the radio that they had problems. And it was like three or four. We had to stop when they were rolling and back and forth. And I lost my
shit.
Composure. And I went out there and I raised my voice toward a crew who I know all their names. And the first AD comes over and says, Tom, I need you to, and I'm like, I'm not going to calm down. It was just this such an immature situation.
Right.
And he goes, I don't remember what he said, but he said something that shut me up. Like, he probably said, shut the fuck up. And he pointed up in the sky and there was a crane with a light, with a 5K or two up there. Mm-hmm. And it was moving like 10 feet. He's like, we're trying to get that guy down. And I'm telling you, dude, I've never felt this since or before. This complete, I am so out of line right now.
Embarrassed.
Or uninformed and embarrassed. And everybody's like, that's okay. You didn't know. You didn't have the information and this and that. That experience has helped me now as I deal with set situations or life situations going on, where you remind yourself, hopefully, that you may be triggered, but maybe the next trigger is to remind yourself you might not have all the information for the situation.
It might not be about you. It's about something else.
Even better. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I never did it again, by the way. I never raised my voice on set ever again.
Yeah. When you watch that video of Christian Bale and he's just losing his shit and going nuts, were you shocked? Do you ever think you could do something like that?
I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I did. That's what I did in the story I just told before. I think you and I talked about this and it was like, oh, that's so, everybody was like, it's so horrible you did that. I'm like, they call it stacking in psychology. It's a stacking of this emotion that adds to the explosion. You're stacking up the dynamite and then it explodes.
Right.
I don't know Christian Bale. I don't know anybody there. There's been some behind the scenes things which helped me believe what I'd like to think, which is he's been dealing with this. He's asked for changes. It hasn't been changed. I don't agree with how he dealt with it. But when it happened, I was like, well, there's other actors. I mean, there's Joaquin Phoenix had a very famous intimate. Why they leaked this information is actually kind of horrible to me.
I think it's a good thing because if you leak that sort of information, I mean, look, there should be privacy and no one should have that. But like somebody was like, you know, the guy who grabs the tape or the film and takes and gets it transferred. He's like, you know what? I'm going to take a copy of this and no one's going to know it was me. And I'm going to air it because this guy's a fucking asshole. Now, I think he's a brilliant actor, Christian Bale. I don't know the details, but I bet it helped him. I bet he'll never do that again. I bet.
I agree.
If something is presented to you where you see yourself in another light and you don't like it, that's when you make a change. When you hit rock bottom is the only time that you realize your issues, your freaking personality, the way you handle things affects other people and there's consequences. I think when you see that, you that's the best chance you have to make changes.
I have a friend of mine who, and I'm not going to say his name because he's too he's literally too famous to mention. And 30 years ago, he did a film with a very famous director. And I'm sorry to be that guy who's not naming names. But here's the situation. His director called him in and said, I need you to watch dailies. And he walked in and he's watching the dailies and he's seeing himself on camera, literally chewing his own mouth off because he'd been doing cocaine.
Oh, wow.
And the director was like, I want you to see this. And the story was told to me as a coming to Jesus moment for him. And he goes, that's when I stopped doing cocaine. So it speaks to what you said. When he saw himself, he was like, I can't be that person anymore. We justify what we're feeling in any given moment. But when you're being photographed, and then that's why when like you're doing something, somebody goes, let me video it. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like there is a thing about that. But if we were, maybe that'd be helpful. I don't know.
I did something where I was on a recording of something. And I thought the recording was over. And I started talking to my friend and saying shit and just joking between two friends who, if people heard some of the shit we say, they'd be like monsters. Because we're just like, It's not real. It's like complete exaggeration. But like, you'd be like, first of all, it would hurt feelings, and it would, and I, but no one heard it. But somebody texts me and goes, "Hey, you're still on air."
Yeah.
And I go, "What?" I mean, and if people would have heard it, it would have. I'm telling you, the feeling I had was absolute shame and embarrassment, even though no one heard it. And it wasn't that bad, but I felt like I'm done. It was horrible, but thank God, you know.
I know, so you gotta be careful. I have friends who have lost their jobs talking to people who have actually become presidents for saying worse things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, some things are said, like you and I, even Bryce and Ryan, like when we're off air, we have conversations. It's not horrible, but it's not worth sharing. It's between friends.
Right.
And that's okay. Because it's, we all understand the context of the humor and what we're saying.
I hear you. But
it's a scary thing if someone were to just listen to what you were saying without you knowing they were listening.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, if Alan Miles came to me and you and said, listen.
Yes.
We've got a Smallville movie.
I already answered it. Well, Smallville movie, I mean, I'd be like, yes, let's hear it. I don't know how it would happen.
Well,
but
if they came up with an idea
anything
for a Smallville movie, or 5 years later, or it was right before, like, let's say they just said, we have this idea. It's before you still be, before you become Superman. And it's this little window here. It's this like, and we want to make a movie and we've got this great idea and it's going to be on Netflix. Would you consider it?
Of course. I mean, listen, I was thinking about this the other day, right before we did our Talkville podcast, but like, no, we were on one of the most successful shows in the history of television, like top 50. From that show, I've never gotten an incoming call from anyone involved in that show for further work. And I don't mean to, I'm not saying that, like, I don't feel bad about that. I don't harp on anybody about that. But you would think that when you're successful, you would be continued successful with successful people. But I think the time has changed.
It is sort of sad. I think in this world, there are a few people who, they come up together, they start making things, and they put all their friends in it, and they constantly use their friends. There's very few people like that. I've had many friends who have become tremendous successes. Some put their friends in the movies. Some don't.
They're also under different influences.
Sure.
Studio, sure. Casting. Let's give them that.
Sure. But it's, people think, it's hard enough getting a movie from people that don't know you. But when you're not getting things from people that do know you, then it's like, oh, my God. Well, now I'm really fucked.
That's true.
It's funny. But it's cool that you would do a Smallville movie. I think that it'd be hilarious, the concept. They'd be like, Tom, I want you to get ripped. I want you to lose 20 pounds. Rosenbaum, I want you to do this. I want you to look this. You're shaving
your head.
And we're doing this. And we're getting, it'd be pretty fun. I don't know.
That sounds more like Al than Miles, by the way.
Yeah.
Just
Miles
that,
would be like
the voice.
No. Terrible idea. Terrible idea. You have addictions.
I do.
Buying clothes, bags, sweatshirts. Every time I see you, you've got a new fucking bag. And I'm like, where'd you get that? You've got a new cordless speaker, one of those Bluetooth speakers. You're the gadget guy. Does Jess tell you always, like, stop buying shit?
It's funny you say this. I'm always trying to find like the right headphones or the right clothes, like simplifying my travel. But in trying to simplify it, I buy more things, is so ridiculous. Like headphones or,
well, that's
because we travel so much.
Yeah, I'm, it's not like we're going out and buying Porsches or Lamborghinis. I buy T-shirts.
Like, yeah, I don't.
My friend Jess is always like, "Do you need another T-shirt?" I'm like, yes, I do. I need T-shirts and sneakers. That's it. I don't need much.
You do, because I see the same 5 or 6 from you all the time.
I know. Why do I? No, so, but you, I always wear more. The same T-shirts, because I don't know. Anyway, listen, can we talk about, Tom, I know you had an incident a long time ago. A lot of people don't know about where you sort of, and everything's great now and you're fine, God willing.
Yeah.
But you had an incident and it was weird.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was a little health scare. Which I didn't necessarily experience in that without context. I'm sorry I mentioned it, but everybody around me did. And I mean, Jessica kind of literally saved my life. And when I was in the hospital, obviously my parents flew in, you know, we talked about how my parents are awesome. And there were really only two other people that came to visit me in the hospital. One was my buddy Ryan. And it's funny because I don't remember seeing him there because I was still sort of loopy in the hospital mode.
Yeah.
The only person I remember actually visiting me was you, which you didn't need to be there. You didn't have to come there. And I don't even know how you knew about what was happening. And then throughout that, and me sort of kind of coming back from whatever it was, you were there to be like, hey, buddy, let's go hang out. Like, let's go up to the, you know, the Mulholland Tennis Club. Like, let's get out of the house.
That's
like,
when we started hanging out, stuff. Really, after that incident.
And you really, you know, and it helped me because you allowed me to kind of talk about some of the frustrations I was having. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe I've never said that before. But yeah, that was, it was a weird experience. It's sort of like, is it like you have tent poles in your life? You know, you were born, you graduate high school, or I didn't go to college, but maybe you have a 10-year long television show and that ends.
Yeah, that's
then,
college.
You know,
Smallville College.
And then you have children and then you have health things. And it was a tent pole. And I do know that what you did for me was very helpful. So thank you. Continue to do.
And we don't have to, of course, man, of course, but we don't have to get into it, but it was a scare because you like passed out right in a DMV.
Yeah.
You passed out completely unconscious pretty much. And in front of everybody, it was like, were you just standing there? Do you remember anything you said before you just passed out?
Well, one of the things about what happens is you don't remember because that's how your brain protects yourself. But if my wife, Jessica, was standing to my right, if I had fallen to my left, there would have been more serious consequences. But I fell to my right and she kind of like helped me to the ground. And then it was, I woke up at the hospital. So, and then it was just trying to figure things out. And we did. And everything's fine now. But it was weird. I mean, I think Jessica had to deal with it more than I did, if that makes any sense, because I was not conscious.
Yeah. I remember it was one of those things.
And she was, and by the way, Jessica was pregnant at the time with Thompson.
And what's scary is it happened. There was no rhyme or reason. You had no health issues.
If it happened 10 minutes ahead of time, I'd have been on the highway driving 65 miles an hour.
And that wouldn't have been good.
No.
Brendan Fraser, working with him, and I know you did this, you know, it aired on Warner Brothers and it was this stuff you did in South Africa. And it was dangerous and a lot of guns and this team of, you know, assassins or whatever, FBI or CIA stuff, whatever. But doing something like that, could you see the talent he had in just the small time that you had working with him?
Yeah. So he played a character who on paper, my character was supposed to be, you know, his character pays me to protect him. And my character doesn't like this guy. He doesn't like what he stands for. And moment to moment on set, I saw the brilliance of Brendan where I was fighting not liking him. Like, I'm not supposed to like this guy, but his angle on the character was so just like, it was annoying, to be honest. It was annoying because I'm like, I'm not supposed to like you. And so what happened is it bled into the connection between the characters, which I think became sort of like a, not Butch Cassidy Sundance, but it was like a, you could see my character being ground down by this guy's agenda. And I think him and I just, we didn't like hang out after set or do any of that. But on set, he has this thing of bringing you in and he's so engaged and he's so such a beautiful person. I think that's literally how. And when I've seen him a few times since, like at cons and stuff, he's just beautiful. He's just so wonderful.
Lastly, I know you wanted to ask me something, so, and we'll finish with this.
It's just a fan question on my
end. Go ahead.
So my fan question is, as a Patreon member, recently, I know you had Keanu on, and I have a story about Keanu where when I had a production company with Warner Brothers, we sold a television show, and I was in New York kind of celebrating that. And my agent, who I was meeting for dinner, called me, and he goes, you know, where do you want to go to dinner? We got to celebrate. Everything's on me. And I was like, oh, great. So I picked this great spot. And he goes, I'm going to bring my friend Keanu. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't catch it. I'm like, okay, cool. You're going to bring somebody. So we get there. We sit down. We're having fun. And 20 minutes later, Keanu Reeves sits down. He's, you know, my agent's like, hey, sits down. And then my agent tells him why we're celebrating. And he, the way he looked at me and engaged me, and he said, what you just did was so difficult to do. I'm just, you know, he didn't say I'm proud of you, but he just like was like, I was like, oh my God.
He was genuinely like, happy for you and really cool about like your success.
And it wasn't, it was just a beautiful person saying something beautiful. And I was like, no one around me has said this except him. Everybody else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the only person who actually said it. And we had a great night. He ordered some of the best wine I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I just became a fan of him as a person. And I've never seen him since. But I know you recently just interviewed him. So as a fan, was it be like, what was your experience with him? Because I know he's a gracious, wonderful person. And I watch everything he does.
I'll just say
but
this.
Being with him, he has this thing. It's
yeah,
great.
Well, he came on with his band, his two band members, Brett and Rob, and they were the nicest guys ever. And, you know, I was told ahead of time, like from one of his friends, like, hey, don't make it about Keanu because it's, you know, it's kind of the band and they're on tour. And I
Dogstar, right?
Yeah, Dogstar. And they've got a great band. And I had worked with Keanu in Sweet November. I was a transvestite that lived next door to Charlize Theron. And I loved working with him. And I was nervous about having Keanu on because I was like, my friend's like, hey, have him on. And if he has a good time, then it'll be easier to get him on the podcast alone. And so, you know, he sits down, he comes in, he goes, and I go, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee? He goes, that would be great. Yeah. And I go, can you drink out of my Sunspin? It's my band. He goes, oh, I want to hear something. And I played a Sunspin song. Remember that? And I was like, cool. And Ryan and I were so nervous because we had an extra camera and we had to make sure everything was on and recording. And I was like, I don't want anything to go fucking wrong. And we're both nervous.
Right.
And he sits down. I go, would you mind sitting there? He goes, no, it's great. And he sits there and he looks up.
It's all good.
While we're recording, the first thing he says, I thought I'm going to have to dig stuff, you know. He goes, I know that movie. It's Dracula. And I go, oh my God, I forgot that you're in that movie. And he goes, he goes, you got Gary Oldman to sign that. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you know, I once gave Francis Ford Coppola mushrooms because he directed Dracula. And that was the first thing he said in the interview. And it just made I think whether he knew it or not, it just put me at ease. And, you know, when I asked him questions about how he deals with life and things like that, he was very, you know, he's very quirky. He's an odd guy in a cool way, but he's very reserved.
He
knows
he's
a lot more than you think. He's shy and he's well articulate. But I will say this. He said,
he's comfortable with himself.
I go, what do you do when you're trying to work something out or you're stressed? And he goes, Michael, because I like to be quiet. I like to sit there and close my eyes and just think about everything and just try to think it through. And the way he said it, and you'll hear it, it's just a couple of things he said. And what, you know, again, I was talking to three guys a lot, but after the show, I could tell he enjoyed it. And we went outside and we hung out for like a half an hour in front of the house, talked about his motorcycle, talked about me working with him, talked about our mutual friends. And I just felt like for someone that's such a big star that everybody wants a piece of him, he couldn't have been nicer. When I said, can we get a picture? He's like, yeah. And I go, can Ryan get a picture with you? He's like, yeah. He was just like a genuinely sweet man. That's what I'll say about him.
So it also sounds like he's there with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's like sharing the moment with you. And I think
he just wants to hang out. He doesn't want to talk about himself. He just wants to talk about things that people talk about. A lot of times it's like when you're with someone that you're like enamored by, you're like, oh, do we talk about, you know, just talk about what you would talk about. So I was like, oh man, I love music. What kind of guitar you have? Just talk. And that's the best way to do it.
And he's interested. He's interested in things.
This is was this better than you thought?
You know, I didn't want to do this.
Yeah, thanks.
But I did it for you. I mean, that's my own ego, whatever. But I knew that we had fun talking. I don't even remember what we just talked about. But
Tom, thanks for being on, man. I love you. I'm sure I'll be talking to you within an hour. So good luck to you there. You want to say goodbye to Ryan?
Ryan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for allowing me.
How did you feel about the interview, Ryan?
I felt great about it. I always like hearing from you. Good. And also, this is like a nice different context. And we don't have to talk about Smallville today.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about SMOD.
Because usually we're talking about something else. Yeah.
No, but you opened up about some things, and I think people are going to really, really dig that. And it was a fun conversation. So I love you, buddy. Give Jess a tongue kiss for me and tell her.
Tell
her I'm more magnetic than ever. I'll see you later, buddy. Well, there you have it. The 300th episode. Tom Welling, thank you for being here. It was an absolute delight. And we're just going to jump right into it. It's been a treat. 300 episodes. There's not much else I could say. Ryan, I hope you've had a decent time. You know, it's not like we spend 40 hours a week together. We might spend like 2 or 3 hours a week together. But ultimately, has it been a decent experience?
It sure has.
Well, I like that. I like you're appreciated. I hope you know that.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Well, double
appreciation,
double penetration,
double apprentice,
double apprentices. Okay, right now, without further ado, we're going to do the top tiers. These are the top tier patrons who give back to the show, even if it's a small amount. Or, well, the top tiers, they really give back, which makes the show possible. To be honest with you, and I'm going to read off their names now. We love you. Go to patreon.com/insideofyou and become a patron today. I'll send you a message. You get a lot of good stuff with it. Look at the perks when you go to the patron page. Why don't you start it out?
Me?
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 Raw, raw, raggy.
Like, zoink, school. All right. Nancy D, Leah and Kristen, Little Lisa, Yukiko, Jill E, Brian H, Nico P, Robert B, Jason W, Sophie M, Raj C, Jennifer N, Stacy L, Jamal F, Janelle B, Mike E, Eldon Supremo, 99 more, Santiago M, Leanne P, Maddie S, Belinda N.
Dave Hall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave Hall. I love Dave Hall. Dave's a really good guy. I really like hearing his voice. I wish I had his accent. I'm not doing a good job of his voice right now. Sheila G, Brandy, Ray H, Tabitha T, Tom N, Talia M, Betsy D, Rhiannon C, Corey K, Dev Nexon, Michelle A, Jeremy C, Brandy D, Eugene, and Leah, Corey, Mel S, Christine S, Eric H, Shane R, Andrew M, Oracle, Amanda R, Kevin E, Stephanie K, Jor-El, Jammin' J, Leanne J,
Luna R, Mike F, Stone H, Brian L, Jules M, Kendall L, Jessica B, Marisol P, Kaylee J, Brian A, Marion Louise L, Romeo the Band, Frank B, Jen T, Nikki L, April R M,
Randy S, JDW, Oral P, Rachel D, Melissa H, Nick W, Stephanie and Evan, Charlene A, Don G. Hello, Don G. Don G. Jenny B, John, Jennifer R, Tina E, NG, Tracy, Junie, and Tasha S. Thanks, guys. All my love. I'm glad I read all the names.
Don G. It made me think of Shrek. Don G.
Don G. Oh, my gosh.
Don K.
Guys, I love you. Thank you for all the support. 300 episodes. Hopefully, let's just take it 50 at a time. Now, let's just, but I'll do this as long as you guys are supporting me. And as long as I have your support, I'm here. So thanks and spread the word. And let's make the show bigger and better if we can. So.
And thanks, Bryce and Jason.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, without those guys. I mean, Bryce is the backbone of it all. And Jason, he puts it together to make sure you so people are listening and it's easy to listen to. And it's tight. And Jason's editing on the video. It's just, he takes care of me. He takes care of the guest. He takes care of he puts his all into it, as does Bryce. So I'm blessed to have all you guys on the team, Ryan, Bryce, Jason, and I'm blessed to have all you listeners out there who support the podcast and are listening. And thank you. So here's to 300 more. Let's just say it. And thanks to Westwood One for all their support and getting us advertisers and working so diligently and believing in the podcast. So thank you. And from the Hollywood Hills in Hollywood, California, I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Ryan Tejas. I'm here too.
Little wave to the camera. We love you guys. Thanks. And
be good to yourselves.
Be good to yourselves or self.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.